Bienvenue au train des jeux. Nous sommes ici à jouer au basketball. Il va vous conduire à la victoire. Car bonne la lente grande effort. Et l'esprit du bel an qui vit en tous les mans. Et l'esprit qui ne meurt jamais. Parce que basketball, oui, basketball a arrivé.
Jouer.
Oh, hello, welcome to BizCast Ball, the Biscuitball BizCast. My name is Corbin Smith. Hey, haven't done one in a while. There's a really good reason for it. Look, if you'll remember, the last time I spoke to you, I was in New York City. And to be frank, I did not go immediately home to Vancouver, Washington. I instead got on a plane with a dilettante, I meant. A London dilettante, I meant. And I went to England for a few months. Country life in England is, it's fun, it's flirty, there's some silly misunderstandings, things of that nature, but when you get down to it, I just couldn't handle all the mating rituals of British life, and so I'm here, back in America, where we just do good old-fashioned porking. Kind of feels good to say that. During the playoffs, I'm going to try to speak to a bunch of people whose teams are not in the playoffs. Why am I doing this? Because everything I do is counterintuitive. I'm very interested in things nobody else gives a shit about. So this week I spoke to Steve McPherson. Steve is a writer at a panoply of places, Rolling Stone, A Wolf Among Wolves. He's written for Vice Sports. He's written for all kinds of places. The classical. And we talk about the Timberwolves and other topics. Please enjoy. All right, I'm here with Steve McPherson. Steve, you write for a lot of things.
True.
Who do you get paid to write for? We'll just start with that.
I get paid to write for Rolling Stone and Vice Sports and Grantland.
That's a publication.
There is a publication. I've only done one thing for them so far, but I'm working on some other stuff.
All right.
And A Wolf Among Wolves. So they pay me a pittance, but it's something.
They give you an actual pittance.
Yeah, it's actually just two pits from Peaches.
Yeah. You are a Minnesota resident?
Correct.
A father?
Yes.
Do you think that you have a book of, like, cornpone anecdotes about your children in you?
Well, I only have one child right now.
Uh-huh.
She's pretty hilarious. She says a lot of funny stuff.
But can it sell? Can it sell?
Oh, man. I think it can sell. I mean, she already went viral once, right?
Yeah.
So I think we
can. Michael Lewis has done one of these things, you know.
Yes. Yeah. Oh,
you want to make money like Michael Lewis, right?
I got to get that Michael Lewis money.
If you were a rapper, would you say making money like Michael Lewis, living in the MLPS, come over to my house, we'll make you some stewis?
Well, I think it sounds pretty good. Can I bite that?
Oh, yeah,
I think
absolutely.
It's MPLS.
You can rip off literally anything I do, Steve.
All right, perfect.
I mean, I do all the time. How would you feel if I start? You use Photoshop, right?
Yeah. I'm a Photoshop enthusiast.
And lately, I don't think I'm speaking out of school when I say that you've been putting watermarks on your Photoshops lately.
This is true.
Because, the internet got some motherfuckers, so to speak.
That's, as a way of saying yes.
One time I saw somebody rip off something somebody else did and put their own watermark on it.
That's pretty terrible.
Yeah,
I mean,
anyway.
I don't like putting the watermark on it because I'd prefer it to just stand by itself. But I think I don't even remember what. I had one thing that got swiped and then cropped. And then I had another thing that I didn't put a watermark on that went totally crazy. So I was like, I should just do it. So
how would you feel if I made like a really bad Photoshop and then put your watermark on it?
I would be honored. I mean, I think
like a Photoshop of Andrew Wiggins getting his hands chopped off.
I mean, I already did that one, but
Lordy. Why?
that's in the back file. You know, I've got it's one of the rough drafts. So I just, you know.
Yeah, you haven't put it all together yet.
No, I'm still working on the layers.
You're a writer about a lot of things, right?
Yeah.
Basketball mostly?
Mostly basketball currently. Sometimes other things.
You write about the whole NBA sometimes.
Yes. Yeah, I've always tried to keep different, A Wolf Among Wolves is about, the Cleveland Cavaliers, obviously.
Uh-huh, yeah.
And then, I don't know, it's sort of like you get a sense of writing for different places, what will fit, what will go in different, sort of what the sensibility is, or you have an idea and you think that this would work for this publication. But, I think I've mostly been writing for Rolling Stone. I have a sort of regular every other week thing there. And they're very nice, and I love my editor.
So baby boomers, they love you.
Yes. Oh, yeah. The Rolling Stone demographic is just they love whatever I'm doing, apparently.
So my
parents like me. So, and other people's parents seem to like me.
We are about to talk about a bad team. Worst team on a certain level, I think, insofar as the existential dance they get in with the people who like them. But just for 5 minutes, just at the top, do you have any other NBA opinions that have nothing to do with the team that will not be named?
I don't know. I mean, I watch a lot of basketball, but there's just so much of it these days, and it keeps going on really late at night.
Oh yeah, I don't have that problem.
Yeah, I know. You're lucky that way.
Yeah.
You're where are you? Are you in Portland?
Vancouver, Washington, which is Vancouver. A suburb of Portland.
Okay. All right. Yeah, no, it keeps happening. I was on the radio earlier today, and we were talking about that Warriors game last night, where it's like, okay, this is great. New Orleans, you're winning. I'm not going to go bet. What's happening now? Oh, what's this? What is this? And then you're up until the middle of the night, and then you have to get up with your three-year-old the next day. It's not super fun. So I guess if I would say anything, I think that the NBA should move to Europe, and then I could just watch them in the middle of the day.
Yeah, that might be bad for literally everybody who isn't a freelance basketball writer.
Nah, well.
Yeah, whatever. Fuck them, right?
Exactly.
Whatever. You can't roll like I roll. I don't care. I went to New York City and was like, oh, I'll watch a basketball game. And then I look at my watch and I'm like, oh, it's 1 a.m.
Yeah.
That's dumb.
I mean, in the central time zone, it's right on the edge. Like, the late games are not as bad as the East Coast. But, a couple of the Wolves games where when you go to these Wolves games that are on ESPN and they're starting at like 8:30 all of a sudden instead of starting at 7, the first time you're like, oh, it's not a big deal. It's not that bad. And then all of a sudden, instead of getting out of there, instead of leaving, having gone to the locker room, instead of leaving at like 10:15 or 10:30, you're leaving like well after midnight. All of a sudden, it's not as much fun.
How many bloggers does the team credential?
A lot.
Yeah.
The Wolves are very good about credentialing. We had one of my fondest memories was, I think it wasn't this season, it was the beginning of last season. I replaced Miles Brown when he left the Wolf Among Wolves to go to New York. Mm-hmm. But he came back for one of the first games. And then Ben Polk, who started a Wolf Among Wolves and hasn't been as active recently, he came to the game. So all of a sudden we had like five bloggers from what it was Zach Harper and me and Miles and Ben Polk and then Bill Bull. Like, so we had five people who were like a Wolf Among Wolves people all in a row, which seemed like a lot. To have
it is a lot.
People from one blog. So they don't normally do this, but basically, I mean, Wolf Among Wolves essentially has three writers who are sort of in rotation, and we almost always have a place to sit if necessary. I don't know what that says about the quality of the team that they can afford to give away that many spots, but they're great. Honestly, they're great. They're great with credentialing. They're great with talking about, figuring out articles.
It seems like there might be like I'm just throwing this out here. It always seems like to me that maybe there's a disproportionate amount of sports that people pay attention to in Minneapolis to people who are in Minneapolis.
That we pay a lot of attention to sports, you mean?
That there's like four big sports teams there, and I don't know. How many people live in MLPS Metro?
That's a good question. I don't really know.
Anyway, because there's like the Blazers are some.
There's one team in Portland, right? So
yeah, there's one team in Portland, and like the Blazers don't like need to credential bloggers, so they don't.
Right. Right.
Which is, you know, whatever. With your life. I'm credentialed for this weekend, so I don't know why I'm complaining, but I don't care. I really don't.
But, yes, there's no football team in LA, but we have a football team. There's no, you know, so yeah. We do have a lot, and you know,
there's a football team, a hockey team, a baseball team, and like you live in hockey country to a certain extent.
Yep, definitely. No, the Wild are very popular here. So yeah, and the WNBA team is one of the best. And there's going to be an MLS team here soon. So
there's going to be an MLS team there.
Yeah,
that's going to be weird because are they going to play in a dome?
Well, that's part of the debate right now. The MLS has given Minnesota United, which is the soccer, which is an NASL team. They've given them they've said, hey, you can be an MLS team. You just need a stadium. And Minnesota United's like, cool. Here's our idea for a stadium. And the government's like, let's talk about that. So they're trying to figure it out. But I think MLS wants an open stadium, and I think that Minnesota United is looking to provide an open air stadium.
I mean, so does M. Okay, I shouldn't talk about MLS. Oh well, I will. I mean, does MLS? Are they just like, we don't have enough snow games, or
probably? I mean, you know, I haven't followed the ins and outs. I'm friends with a bunch of people who do Minnesota United stuff. I wrote for Minnesota United for a little while, so I mean, they seem like a really great. I like the organization. I know that there was a bunch of cities who are in contention for another MLS team. So, I mean, soccer is pretty popular here. They've got a great fan base, so I think it has potential.
Yeah, sort of suburban area. That makes sense. That soccer sort of has a root there. That's the case here too. You know.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, the Pacific, the I-5 corridor is like, you know, there's a lot of people like soccer here.
Yeah.
Good chat about that particular topic. It
cool.
Really
I'll talk to you later.
And entertained a lot of people. No. The Timberwolves. We have to get to it. The Minnesota Timberwolves locked in an eternally unhealthy relationship with the frozen shut-ins, who are forced to spend several months with them every year. They sucked this year. They sucked, right?
Yeah.
They just sucked.
Yeah.
Just so sucky. I saw them play the Blazers when they were in town the last time.
Yeah.
And they sucked in that game. They really sucked.
The Blazers also just always take it to the Wolves. I don't know what the deal is. Like the Blazers
well,
and the Raptors
the
two teams, so.
Suck.
Yeah, but the Blazers particularly seem to take it out. I mean, like we missed Wes Matthews last couple times, but I remember looking up at one point and seeing that he has the most three-pointers attempted per game in his career versus the Wolves and the highest true shooting percentage.
Holy
so he's obviously just destroying
Lord.
The Wolves for some reason. So
also the in fairness, those 2 years where the Blazers sucked. Kevin Love
right.
really went out of his way to take it to him in those
oh,
years.
Oh, there you go. So it's karma.
Yeah. Yeah. That, think about all the bad karma you have because of Kevin Love.
And David Kahn. So.
Rest in peace.
Yeah.
He's dead. Did you know that?
I haven't heard from – I saw him in Summer League this past
oh,
year, but that was a while ago.
He
so.
Died on the way to the plane from Las Vegas.
I think a couple of people might be responsible for that who I know personally.
Yeah, he got poisoned by Wolves fans. You guys have a fucked up relationship with basketball, man.
Yeah.
It's sick.
True.
You have problems.
I think, yeah. Well, yes. I agree with everything that you're saying. I would not okay. I would not dispute any of
look,
this.
Look, I'm not saying I'm not saying Portland fans aren't sick. They, you know, they have problems too, but you guys have like weird problems.
We're definitely like, I mean, all Minnesota sports have been terrible overall. I mean, generally speaking, Vikings are very woeful. The Twins are their own kind of woe. So
it
I
isn't
mean,
just that, Steve. I'm 100% convinced that it has to do with climate and weather.
Okay.
That you are locked in your horrible houses where it snows all the time, where they build tunnels through skyscrapers just so people never have to go outside.
Mm-hmm.
You can't be in communion with nature for so much for a gigantic chunk of the year. So you're just locked in with the television and the television is mean to you.
Counterpoint to the being locked in, though. I don't know many places where people get more excited for it to be nice than Minnesota.
Isn't it
like
really
I
hot?
That's it. I mean, It gets hot sometimes, but it's not beaches, too bad.
Do you?
Well, we have a lot of lakes, so there's a lot of swimming in the summer.
What about forests?
There's a good amount of forest. The north, up north, is very lovely. The Lake Superior Shore has a lot of really nice forested areas.
I've been to Minneapolis during the summer. I thought it was a little stuffy.
It can get a little close. But man, the spring is like, as soon as it gets nice, people are outside like in shorts and a t-shirt as soon as it's like 45 degrees sitting outside drinking on patios. So, I think we really relish it when we do get to get outside. So
now the Minnesota Timberwolves, they sucked. What was their record?
17 and something.
Holy 18, Lord.
18 and something. I stopped keeping track by the end of it, you know.
Oh my God, that is terrible. What a sucky team. But Steve, we're not here to talk about the past.
Sorry, I oversold them. 16 and 66.
Holy God, that is terrible. That is just makes you want to open up a vein and stop watching basketball forever, that kind of thing. But that is why we are not here to dwell on the past, Steven. Well, we are, actually, very briefly.
Sure.
My first question for you, Steve, is why did the Timberwolves suck this year?
I think the shortest answer about first of all, they're a young team with a lot of really raw players, and they have a couple of veterans, and those veterans were all injured all at the same time for a lot of the season. That's sort of the shortest answer. I mean, I think there's other issues that people bring up about, you know, Flip Saunders' system or things like that. But to me, it's like, you know, you were supposed to start the season and it was supposed to be Ricky Rubio and Kevin Martin and Andrew Wiggins and Thad Young and Nikola Pekovic. And then within a couple weeks, it was basically Andrew Wiggins, Thad Young, and a bunch of other spare parts. Young guys playing positions they shouldn't be playing. Zach LaVine shouldn't be playing a ton of minutes at point guard, but he did. So I think that, and Saunders has talked about it after the season. He said, you know, at first they were hoping they could compete. I mean, he said playoffs, but I still don't think they would have made the playoffs necessarily, especially in the West. But once those injuries hit, they just shifted into, we're going to start trying to rebuild this thing. So they moved other veteran guys who wanted to move off the team for some pieces, some of which seemed good and didn't pan out. I mean, you know, they're at the beginning of a very long road, I think, to the development of Andrew Wiggins and then whomever they draft this year. So it was a brutal season, and it was a lot of young guys playing a lot of minutes. But I'm at least somewhat optimistic going forward. So there's that.
Steven, I have a question.
Yes.
Big Steve McPherson. Did they try to trade anybody and did not trade them? For instance, Kevin Martin.
I don't know how serious the feelers were for Kevin Martin. It sort of depends, because I know he was, you know, he was injured and out and then injured again and things like that. So I'm not sure when the best opportunity was to move him. I would imagine I've talked to Milt Newton, who's the GM, technically. I mean, his title is GM. Flip Saunders' title is president of basketball operations, because they got to have funky names for everything. But Milt Newton said, you know, the process is like you're just constantly talking to other teams. And so the line between this guy, we tried to trade this guy and couldn't, and no, we never talked about him, I don't think it's as bright as that. I think they were always probably talking to other teams and seeing what other teams wanted or needed, or when other teams had injuries or they wanted to start thinking about playoff runs. So, but they, you know, they moved Brewer, they moved Corey Brewer, they moved Mo Williams, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Remember Mo Williams?
Yeah.
He's the only player to ever win Western Conference Player of the Week. Player of the month or whatever he was. I guess it was week. And for scoring, you know, 52 points for the Wolves, and then get traded, and then he won the Eastern Conference Player of the Week later on. So there you go.
Boy, I watched Mo Williams play in Portland, and that is a frustrating player, that guy.
He's an interesting case, because he's a really fun guy.
Is there a dog there?
There is a dog here. Okay. So that was what that was.
Are they a good boy or a girl?
He's a good boy.
Oh, thank God.
He's not a very good girl. He makes a much better boy. He's just shifting around on the couch.
Unless he feels like a girl. I'm not here to yeah. impose a gender.
I mean, technically he is de-sexed. So.
Oh.
So, you know, he's not having any kids.
You took his whole gender away from him? Took, you know, away, he identifies himself away from
my house. You know, like, I don't want to impose a gender on anyone. So
yeah, your wife, your child, anybody.
Exactly.
You live in a gender fluid house. Minnesota progressives. Al exactly. Franken.
That's right. What was I talking about? Mo Williams.
Yeah, Mo
Williams. He's super fun to talk to, and he likes to actually talk about basketball, which can sometimes be a kind of shocking rarity amongst basketball players. But yeah, he can be when he's on point and on fire. He's fun, but you know, when your point guard rotation is Mo Williams and Zach LaVine, there's just not a lot of defense coming.
Yeah, what's up with that Zach LaVine at point guard thing?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's not really clear to me what their mission is. I mean, it's just, you can't get a straight answer out of anybody. I mean, I don't know if they think that he is going to become a point guard, or if it's simply, hey, we were going to be bad, let's force a bunch of ball handling and playmaking on him in the hopes that it kind of, some of it sticks around for when he's an off the ball guard.
Sort of like you break somebody's finger, their finger is stronger forever.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's how it works.
That's
right?
That's essentially what they were trying to do with Zach LaVine. So,
golly, what about the Timberwolves sucked the most?
You mean just personally? Did I think?
No, not like your feelings. I don't care. Like what aspect of the team was worst?
The defense, just generally. Okay. Transition defense. Period. Overall, I think offensively they had their moments, but you know, they had this defense that was predicated on chaos. You know, they weren't ever going to be rim protectors. Nobody on the team. I mean, maybe Jang a little bit, but he's kind of slight, so it's hard for him to really body guys up in the paint. I mean, they had Ricky Rubio and Thad Young and Corey Brewer to start the season, and that's your wing rotation that you want to try to force turnovers. And maybe they're going to reach too much, but you hope that they poke the ball away sometimes. Then a lot of those guys were injured or traded, and so then they ended up with a bunch of young guys who don't really have any idea how to defend. So you just saw bad positioning. I mean, it was, you know Seth Part now, right?
I do. We've spoken before.
Okay, so Seth, you know, has made the point in a couple of different places, I think, about the Wolves, where the bad offensive spacing really leads to their bad defense. And this just kept happening over and over again. Like, there seemed to be no rhyme or reason to who was attacking offensive boards. You know, like, everybody would dive down for those to try to get offensive rebounds. And then the other team would leak out and get easy scores in transition. And, you know, Zach LaVine or Mo Williams would get rubbed off of every screen set on them, basically. Like, almost like a canned animation, like you're playing a video game and this is how it looks when you get rubbed off the screen. So I would say, if anything, it was really the defense rubbed off. Yeah. I did say that.
We sure we're gonna keep that one in the canon.
Well, you know, I don't know,
rubbed off.
I mean, he didn't get rubbed out, he just got rubbed off.
Ugh.
So
you're a father, Steve.
It's true.
I can talk like this. I'm a filth monster. You have children.
But yeah, defense. It starts with the defense. I know that's what Flip says he wants to get better.
Flip is a good defensive coach, right? I mean, for all of his proclivities on offense.
Yes. He has a reputation as being good defensively. The team didn't really show that, but again, it's really one of those things where you got a lot of young guys all playing at the same time, and I think it's really hard within the season to build up that communal sense of defenders on a string and knowing sort of where everybody's going, and when one guy, you know, helps and somebody else has to rotate. It just seemed like they couldn't get that stuff straightened out, and that was where it all started for them being bad.
Hey Steve, how old is Jang?
Jang is 26, I want to say.
Not yet. Not
25.
Okay.
Yeah, no, he is not young. He's been an interesting case because I think he showed, like, he had this real breakout at the end of last season. But
Eurobasket, he was good in the Eurobasket too. Or whatever the FIBA tournament was this year.
Sure, Eurobasket sounds like a name of something. Yeah. But it sort of seems like it's kind of one of those.
What year was it last year? It was the World Championships last year.
Yes.
I remember. Thank you. I apologize for interrupting you, but not that sincerely. Continue.
So Jang is, you know, he's got all these pieces, and I think people sort of looked at it like, oh, look, he's sort of, look at, he, all these pieces look together. When he puts that all together, it's going to look great. But it doesn't seem like he's totally putting it together. Like, he doesn't have – he's not amazing. You know, he's a little slight as a defender in the post. He doesn't really have a lot of post moves. He's got this kind of fadeaway bank shot. But at what – I mean, do you really want that to be the signature move of your center? Doesn't seem right.
Well, I just want so. – personally, I just want a center to play defense.
Right.
Personally.
That's how every NBA 2K team I ever made was. Like, I didn't want my center to score.
What is that? So, what is...
It's like a video game you play on the TV.
Okay.
So, yeah. It's fun.
Is that like a computer game?
It's kind of like a computer game, but it lives in your television.
Huh. Okay, what do you do in the game?
You try to make a better Timberwolves team than the one you have, as far as I'm concerned.
Oh, wow, that sounds sad. That sounds like a sad game.
But it's easy to make a better Timberwolves team.
Oh. It kind of sounds like a gross fantasy on a certain level.
I just trade for the players that I want, and then I use those guys. I don't want my centers to score. I just want them to rebound and defend. So.
Ugh. Gross.
Sorry,
so
you
control other human beings through the
I'm
TV?
Sorry you don't approve of my proclivities.
Yeah. Yeah, especially this one. video games, I don't. Is that kind of like going outside or?
It's what we do in Minnesota when we can't go outside because we're snowed in.
Here's a story. I have a story. All right. The bit's done and I'm going to tell a story.
Okay.
I was 1 year in college. You heard of this thing, college?
I was there once.
I was really into Super Mario Galaxy, and I was in my friend's apartment. My friends lived in an apartment complex that was sort of like a suburban apartment complex, and there were some families there who had children. And I was playing Super Mario Galaxy in their room with the window open because I like a little natural light, not to brag or anything. And a bunch of kids walked by. The bunch of kids were playing outside, looked at me playing Super Mario Galaxy like, really, dude?
And that's when you knew you had to get outside.
Yeah. Well, I kept playing Super Mario Galaxy. But, okay. Will the Timberwolves, second question. Will the Timberwolves suck next year?
Yeah. I think they will not suck as much. That's about as good as I can do.
Really?
I mean, I think that, like... I think that the problem is that a lot of their players, like their good players are going to be – Andrew Wiggins is going to be a second-year player, and he's probably going to take a big jump in how good he is, but he's still just going to be a second-year player. Zach LaVine also could make a big jump, but he'll still be a second-year player. I mean, I think that they're still going to be a really, really young team that's still trying to put it all together. Plus, you're adding, presumably they're going to be trying to draft another cornerstone player who's also going to be very young next year. And they're still playing, unless they move to the Eastern Conference, unless that's a press conference that's coming up soon. Like, I think they're going to have a really tough road playing a lot of Western Conference teams who are a lot better than them. So I don't think they're going to have 16 wins next year. I mean, they had, but then again, I didn't think they were going to have 16 wins this year because I didn't know about, I mean, I thought I didn't know about injuries and, injuries always happen. So I think they're going to be better than they were this year, but I wouldn't expect a whole lot.
Could they be an Eastern Conference team? Is there anybody they could flip with?
The thing that's always bugged me about that is that I feel like they're most it would be so natural. Tom Ziller did this thing with divisions. So.
Ziller's idea for divisions is my favorite idea.
Yeah, and I think that it makes a lot of sense to put the Wolves with the Bucks and the Bulls and the Pacers and the Pistons because it's like the Midwest. That's the Midwest. So it's weird that, like the division rivals for the Wolves is like the Jazz. Yeah. Like, that doesn't really make
Jazz. What division are they in?
They're in the Northwest
what
division.
What the fuck? They're in the Blazers division?
They are.
That's fucking ridiculous. Pardon my language. But,
no, I hear you.
I always think about this in terms of what can we do to reduce jet travel to help carbon emissions.
Sure, that's responsible.
And I always felt like Ziller's idea was the one that, like, if you haven't read it, I don't know, go read it, I guess. Just write Ziller's idea.
Yep.
Into
that's
Google.
The website.com. Yeah, because the Wolves almost always have, you know, the most miles traveled or, you know, up at the top. Because, again, the teams they're playing in their division are the Nuggets, the Jazz, the Thunder, and the Blazers. So they're all really far away from them. So, yeah, it's silly.
And, like, Milwaukee's, like, right there. Like, they play Milwaukee in preseason because they're so close.
Right, right. Like, I want to – I mean, the Bucks should be their rival, right? You know, it's like the Packers and the Vikings. But
I'm with you. So,
yeah.
It's ridiculous.
So, but then we have to move somebody from the Eastern Conference into the Western Conference. So I don't know who that is.
Sixers.
Philadelphia's pretty close to the West Coast. They're another. That would considerably weaken the Western Conference, I guess. So
fucking finally, ask me. We need to do something about this rising tide. All the boats. Ask me. I mean, it's like the Jazz might be good next year. That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Well, Rudy Gobert looks pretty great. So
that guy's the shit.
Yeah.
Has anybody ever said the Wolves could have drafted Rudy Gobert and like thrown their arms in the air?
Probably. I mean, knowing Wolves fans, I'm sure.
I mean, the response to that is that literally anybody could have drafted Rudy Gobert and denied.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I'll tell you, there were not no articles about how the Wolves could have had Hassan Whiteside after Hassan Whiteside looked good. And it's like, come on.
Yeah, so
like
could every, have anybody.
Yeah. Yeah. I was talking to somebody, they were like, you know, two Chinese teams whiffed on him. They had him and let him go, you know, so you know, the whole world whiffed on that one. So, but yeah, if you're a Wolves fan and you start picking apart the guys you could have had, like you're going to be there a long time. So you should probably just stop doing that.
What should you do instead?
Man, I don't know. I'm trying to think of a good alternate option to thinking about that stuff, but it gets ridiculous. Like every time, and then every time another the draft where they took Johnny Flynn and Ricky Rubio is obviously legendary because Steph Curry was sitting there right after those guys. But literally every other point guard,
Johnny Flynn's probably better than Steph Curry though.
You know, I mean, who knows? He's wherever he is. Who knows what he's doing?
Where is Johnny?
He's playing in Australia, I think. And then he's had health problems, but like every year, another one of those point guards gets
like tuberculosis or like knee problems.
No, like hip problems.
Oh, thank God. It would have been real. When the concept of saying that a player is having health problems, but it's their ligaments always sort of rattles me because I feel like when you say a normal person has health problems, it means that they like have cancer,
right?
Yeah. Anyway,
I hear you on that. The injury prone is also a really weird one for me when it's like a guy twisted his ankle. I'm like, well, he was playing a professional sport, which is very fast and athletic, and he hurt himself. Like, it's not like he opened the refrigerator door into his forehead or something.
Ow!
Like
that,
like which seems injury prone to me.
Like a stooge, like a Three Stooges stooge.
right. Like those people who are just clumsy, like. I mean, my three-year-old daughter is completely clumsy right now, which is hilarious. She just,
I'm taking this down for the cornhole book. You're
this is for the cornhole book.
Yeah.
You know, she just doesn't have like the spatial awareness. You ask her to be careful about something. You know, like be careful with that cup. I'll be careful, and then just drops it. You know, like it is literally slapstick comedy. So, end of cornpone anecdote.
So they're probably going to stink again next year.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I think they're going to be better, but I mean, I don't know what's going on with Pekovic. He's just had surgery because his ankles are made of, you know,
peanut
brittle. So,
Is
I don't
Pekovic
know what his,
what they need.
No.
We'll get, that'll be the last question. We'll get that.
Okay. All right. We'll save that one.
Okay, but let's look further into the future, Stephen.
Okay.
Is there a scaffolding in place with the members of the team on which you could build a team that doesn't suck?
Yes.
What is that scaffolding?
Well, I think certainly, I mean, the heart of that scaffolding is Andrew Wiggins. Like that's the bones of the thing. This is the guy who's, you know, on whom the fortunes of the franchise are going to rise or fall.
It's going to be a real shame when he goes to Toronto.
Right. Toronto's already decided that he's coming there. So we'll see how that goes. But,
I want Wiggins to opt out of his contract and go to, look, no offense. I want Wiggins to opt out of his contract and go to Toronto so bad.
Why do you want that?
I don't know. Just because you'd all be so mad.
It would be pretty. I mean, if he really doesn't like, I mean, rookies are essentially in their rookie deals for 7 years, 7-8 years.
Yeah, but you
like
could. Yeah, there's a way to get out of it, though.
Yeah, I mean, it'd be hilarious if he does. I mean, it, in terms of just like how ludicrous, how bad it would have to be for him to decide to do that. So, or how much he wants to live in Canada again. So, but
I mean,
you know, hey, they have healthcare.
Free healthcare.
So, yeah.
People are nice.
Lots of taxes. I mean,
is marijuana legal there?
Probably. What isn't legal in Canada?
Like murder. And even then, what are the police in Canada going to do about it, right?
Right, right, exactly. The Canadian.
Yeah.
but Wiggins is, you know.
Tell me who the great Canadian homicide detective is.
Oh, man. Like a flannel.
You know what his name is? You know what his name is?
Go.
Syrup Holmes.
Syrup Holmes, like Sherlock Holmes, I see.
Yes, Steve, like Sherlock Holmes.
I can only think of Dale Cooper from Twin Peaks when he stops dressing like an FBI guy and starts wearing like red check flannel.
I've never seen that show. I'll take your word for it.
Yeah.
Are there any other television shows I should watch?
Oh man, see, I'm kind of in a dry spell for TV to watch right now, other than what everybody is watching, like Game of Thrones and stuff like that. So
I read the book, so I don't watch the show, so it's not like pertinent for me to watch the show.
I see. I took a swing and I missed on a couple shows recently that didn't really pan out. So yeah.
Oh man, before we continue talking about this question, what shows did you take a swing on that didn't pan out?
The Last Man on Earth.
I like The Last Man on Earth.
Well, I started watching it and I really liked the premise and I liked the first couple episodes, and then I just began to feel like I couldn't deal with Kristen Schaal as a main character.
I think Kristen Schaal is the best part of the show. I think they've made Phil too unlikable.
Yes, and that's the other thing.
I don't know if that's a great idea, but I think Kristen Schaal's really great on it.
I really like Kristen Schaal. I just like her better in like the Bob's Burger sort of provocateur role rather than like a central character. But yes, the main point is that I think he's too unlikable. Like
he's such a schmuck.
He just messes up everything, and yeah. It's like it's kind of exhausting. And then sort of relatedly, I watched Welcome to Sweden. Which is Amy Poehler's brother's show, Greg Poehler.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of went in the same direction where at first it had this kind of nice fish out of water in foreign country stuff, but he's such a jackass American, that I just can't deal with. I can't deal with it. So I stopped watching that as well. So,
all right. This has been TV Talk with Big Steve.
Yeah.
back to the Timberwolves. So the scaffolding. So Wiggins is the main part, but who else on the team? I mean, Wiggins, like, you can't build a scaffold out of but one board.
Sure.
So who else do you think represents the scaffolding going forward?
Well, I think that Shabazz Muhammad has looked really great.
Whoa!
Yeah.
Did not expect that.
Honestly, if you've been – I mean, he got injured and some of the time – you know, he was injured and then he came back and he looked good and then he was injured again. And he never really got to be on the court with Rubio at the same time, who I think would help a lot. But like those couple times when you had Wiggins and Shabazz, it was great because they're such weird matchups to be two wing players, because Shabazz is, you know, small for a small forward, but likes to play in the post and is just a complete demon. Like, he just plays like he's possessed, which is great. And then you've got Wiggins, who's really long and really strong defensively. So like they're just sort of like a matchup nightmare, you know. And this happened a couple times early on where they would essentially be playing, you know, Wiggins at the two and Shabazz at the three, and then the other team had to put whoever was stronger on Shabazz because Shabazz is a bear, and then that would let Wiggins really go crazy. So the whole idea of like a Rubio Wiggins Shabazz backcourt with Zach LaVine coming in like to be in there in the mix as a sort of secondary ball handler and more scoring guard, I think is a really fun backcourt, you know, sort of wing rotation.
Shabazz can't shoot though, right?
He actually was a lot better this season. Okay. I would have to look up exactly what his numbers were, but you know, he, like, I wouldn't say he's a knockdown 3-point shooter, but he did show some ability to shoot the three. So
I saw Shabazz.
He played 38 games. His 3-point shooting was 39%. So that's pretty good.
All right. That's pretty good.
I mean, small sample size, but still 39%. That's good.
Look, I'm just saying, if you were asking me, Never mind. I think Shabazz is an incredibly weird NBA player.
Yeah.
And I think saying like, yeah, no, he's definitely a part of the thing. I don't know. I think we're still at an anything could happen with that guy.
Well, obviously he's still young and he hasn't gotten to play that much yet. But and I don't think he's one of the. I mean, I think your pillars are, you know, you've dedicated a bunch of money to Rubio, and I think that Rubio with Wiggins is a really good pairing, and hopefully you're drafting your sort of front court guy, depending on how the draft shakes out. Then you've sort of got like, you know, your ball handler, your wing player, and then you've got a big guy, and then you fit stuff in around that. And I think Shabazz can be one of the important guys to fit in around that, either off the bench, you know, or possibly. I think he's kind of ideally a totally bizarre bench player, you know, like you're saying. He doesn't fit into a lot of molds in the NBA. So if you throw him up against like second units, I think he could cause a lot of trouble. So
I saw him turn in the worst 36 point performance ever in the Nike Hoop Summit he played in. It was insane how many points he scored and also how bad he was.
Yeah. Yeah, no, he has at times looked really, I mean, he looked really bad his rookie season a lot, but this year he was great. He looked terrific, so.
So, Rubio.
Yes.
I don't know. Is he good?
The fact
that you said,
Well, here's the thing. Well, this is what I'm. This is what I was just thinking about, which is interesting because I've been thinking about him in relationship to Rondo recently, and Rondo's recent problems, and how I think that you know a couple of years ago when Rubio came into the league, and I was like, okay, well, he can't shoot, but he's a great distributor, etc. You looked at Rajon Rondo, and you're like, this is the guy you could be, right? Like that you put the right pieces around him. And he can sort of put those pieces together and he can be great for you without necessarily having to score a ton of points. But then you see that like Rondo since – I mean he's essentially been bad now for a while. Yeah. And, you know, and he, without a jump shot, like it's – I feel like without those pieces around him, it's suddenly being exposed. So maybe you sort of seeing the opposite that like, well, yeah, he looked great, but he had those great pieces around him. And so
– I mean the other thing about Rondo though is that when he was at his best, he was – I mean, he could finish at the rim really well.
Yes, which Rubio doesn't do.
Yeah.
That's true. I mean, I think that Rubio's jump shot has been, it looked better. And then he was injured and he came back from injury and it looked worse. But then we found out, you know, now he got surgery to fix that ankle. So maybe the ankle was never really good, which obviously is going to hurt his shooting if he's not really being able to elevate. I think that he's a good player. I guess at this point I have my doubts about whether he's, you know, a foundational player. They're giving him a lot of money. So I guess you have to.
I think the only thing we know about Rubio insofar as is he a useful NBA player is he is good at defense.
Yes, he is. I mean, and that's the thing is that some people still don't even know that.
Anybody who's not taking a cursory look at these things,
mm-hmm.
I think anybody who uses a statistical or scouting approach would say Rubio is good at defense.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
I don't know if I could say literally anything else except he's good at passing, but I don't know if it necessarily makes the offense better if he can be, if those lanes can be shut down so aggressively.
Yeah. I've sort of, since he came into the league, I think I've been towing the line that he doesn't have to become a dead eye shooter. He just has to sort of get over that Jason Kidd, you know, sort of hump of like 400, like 40% shooting. If he can sort of get over that, if it's just enough to make teams respect him. And I think he was there before he had, prior to the injury. And then when he first came back from the injury and looked good for a while before it started bothering him again, you know, he was in that range. And I think that helps a lot. And certainly in terms of like on the break in transition, the idea of him getting out, you know, leading the break with Wiggins and Zach LaVine coming down the court that's going to be some fun basketball. So
is anybody else absolutely essential going forward?
No, I'm going to say no. I mean, I think that there's, the thing is that I feel like you're looking at any NBA team that isn't, I mean, even to a certain extent, you're talking about, you know, the Hawks or the Spurs, like these tremendously balanced teams that have a lot of depth, where a lot of guys are contributing different stuff. On a lot of these teams, you know, you're talking about the top two, three, maybe four guys. And then a lot of those other guys, I mean, they could be different guys. It's just, it's, they don't have to be the guys that they are. Gorgui Dieng seems fine, but I don't think he's irreplaceable by any stretch. You know, I don't think Kevin Martin's future is ultimately with the Timberwolves. You know, I don't know how he fits. I mean, he's a veteran and they like to have him around because he's one of the only guys that Saunders trusts to shoot basically all the time. So, but you know, the other guys you're looking at are Justin Hamilton. I mean,
that dude was on the Nuggets?
Was he on the Nuggets? I don't know. He's on the Wolves now. So
weird.
He looks kind of like baby Chris Anderson back before all the tattoos.
Oh, no. You're thinking of
Jordan Hamilton.
Yeah, pardon me. Jordan Hamilton.
Yeah, no, Justin Hamilton's like a 7-foot setter, and he's okay. I mean, Adrian Payne, I think they went and got Adrian Payne, which Payne's had some moments, but I don't know if how central he is to their plans going forward. So, I mean, they're still rebuilding. So,
But Wiggins is good.
Wiggins is good. Wiggins is definitely good.
Unless he's not.
Well, I guess.
You never know.
I'm pretty sure he is.
Okay. I don't know. Got some spreadsheets here.
Well, show me your spreadsheets.
No. No.
They're proprietary spreadsheets?
Yeah, they're proprietary. I make a lot of money off these spreadsheets.
All right, there you go.
I'm like Dan Zimborski. I don't just give zips away for free.
Sure.
That was a baseball joke. That was a baseball projection analyst joke.
Okay. Yeah. That's a deep cut.
Okay. So, my last major question here is, if the Timberwolves could get one average NBA player at any role or position tomorrow, who would you prefer they get?
Who or which position?
Which position? Not who.
Okay.
An average NBA player, the 15th best player at his position.
Okay. I think center.
Okay.
Center or possibly power forward, but it's that backcourt. I mean, like I said, I think that the front court, the backcourt. You know, I mean, it's not ironclad, but I think that rotation of, you know, having Wiggins and Shabazz and Rubio, you've still got Martin right now and then Zach LaVine. Like, they've all got roles they can play. The front court with
those Jang, are all dudes who seem like NBA players.
Yeah, exactly. The front court, you know, Peck's future is in serious doubt as far as how much he can play, if he can play. When he's played, I think he hasn't been very effective because he's sort of had to play his way into shape, and then he gets injured, and then he's not very effective, and then he gets shut down.
Can I throw something out here regarding Pekovic very briefly?
Sure.
Maybe not having literally every muscle would be good for your ankles.
Yes.
I'm just throwing it out there.
I wrote a thing about that, actually, because I was saying that I thought that he could do with some of the sort of Marc Gasol off season where he just trims down a little bit.
Well, Marc Gasol lost fat.
Yeah. I mean, right. I mean, but he wasn't like, but we're not talking about Anthony Bennett where he gets cut up or something like that. Like Marc Gasol was a strong.
Anthony Bennett's not good, right?
No, Anthony Bennett's not good.
Okay. Just double checking.
Yes. No, I don't think he's good. Marc Gasol, you know, it just seemed like he could move quicker and he was carrying less bulk. And that's what I think that Peck needs to do. You know, if you're 6'11" and 300 pounds, like, you know, maybe you should cut back on that a little bit.
But even in a lot of, I mean, but the weird thing about it is that a lot of what he was good at when he was very good was immediately predicated from the fact that he was like a wall of movable brick.
Right.
I think it's a very odd situation with him because when he was at his best, it was like, well, yeah, he posts up. He's very good at posting up and like dudes fucking fly off of him when he goes for rebounds. But it's maybe that's not the best way to stay healthy for him.
Right, right.
Like, the only dude who was like that and still was able to be healthy was Shaq, and Shaq has, like, enormous feet.
Yes. Yeah, no, and Peck has really small feet. That's the other thing.
Wow. Out in the guy here.
What was that?
Out in the guy out here.
You know, and that's the thing is that the more the if you have a smaller surface area on the floor, like there's more pressure in that surface area. This is some science shit. So
okay, got one sec.
Do you have some bubbling beaker sounds you could just pipe in behind mad sign?
When I was on the Rip Citizens podcast, which is it was a Blazers podcast. It's very good. And the guy who does it is a professional recording guy, so you do it at his nice studio, and you can really get some water in your mouth and get up to the thing and go make a fucking amazing bong sound. Can't do. All I have is this little condenser mic, and I don't have any water nearby.
Yeah, I don't. Oh man, I had some water, but I drank it.
Anyway, so. I'm super high now. Talk about science.
All right. So you know the more mass there is going into a certain area, if that area is smaller, it's greater pressure exerted downwards. So if you have small feet and you're a 300-pound person, even if it's all muscle, it's just a lot of gravity working on you all the time. So, I mean, I just feel like if his off-season regime could be a little less bear wrestling, a little more, you know, running or, you know, something like that, it might help
him out. The elliptical.
Yeah, the elliptical. Yeah. You could watch, you know, The Walking Dead or whatever you want. So,
We got incredibly off track. So center. So you would get a replacement production at center.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's the area where they had a ton of trouble this season at point guard, but I think that was because of injury and inexperience. I feel better about the point guard position going forward. So, the power forward and center rotation was essentially Adrian Payne and Justin Hamilton and Gorgui Dieng until they shut Dieng down eventually. So, I mean, hopefully they're drafting well enough that they get that power forward or center, you know, a big man who is good defensively. And then that's even better than having the 15th best person at that position.
They probably have a high draft pick?
Yes, they are guaranteed a top four draft pick.
Who do you think they should take? I mean, I know what you're going to say, but just say it.
Wait, I want to hear you say it.
But Towns. I mean, like, every team should take Towns, probably, right?
Yes. That's what I think.
Yeah.
I am fearful of them taking Okafor.
And I think that's the second thing everybody thinks, right? Is that, like, I think the team should take Towns because Towns resembles a modern NBA player. But I'm scared they'll take Okafor because you can put so much on him as far as, like, oh, this guy, he's going to get you buckets.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he's got to develop low post game and not a lot of defense. And I just don't know if that matters so much in the modern NBA. And
I agree with you, Steve.
There you go. So I can see the Wolves taking him because that seems to be somewhat of the mindset that Flip Saunders has.
I mean, but Flip likes defense, though. Flip likes defense, though.
I guess. But he also likes old school stuff like open shots and pretty post moves. So I don't know. I mean, the thing is that I think Okafor is going to be good. I just think that it's going to be a problem if you take Okafor and then you try to build a team around him, you know, around that skill set when you don't have, if you had like a defensive center, you know, who you could just throw in there, if you put him next to like, you know, Ibaka or somebody like that, maybe you're okay. But
yeah, I think, I don't know. I don't follow this stuff enough to have like aggressive opinions about it, but I think that when you watch Greg Monroe and you sort of take tangible note of all the skills that dude has and then look at the records of all of his teams and his RPM and things of that nature, I think it's hard to say that the dude who posts up is like even a good option necessarily.
Yeah.
Except Cousins. Yeah. Cousins rules.
Right. Well, but Cousins has so many more things. I mean, he runs the floor like it's crazy, you know, and does all that stuff. So, Greg Monroe, he's a terrifically skilled basketball player, but it's sort of for a kind of basketball that doesn't seem to be
anymore
advantageous or sustainable in the modern NBA. So,
Are you crying right now?
I'm a little choked up.
All right. Are there any questions you need to ask me, Steve?
Do you like what? Okay, Voodoo Donut. Just too hyped.
Yeah, I don't hate it as much. I think that people who live in Portland proper maybe hate it more than me.
Yeah, I figure there's a backlash. There must be a Voodoo Donut backlash.
Yeah, kind of. It's not, but they make some good donuts. It's none of the stuff that anybody talks about. In my opinion, if you go there, the thing to get is a fritter. I think they make wonderful fritters. The other thing about it is that do not go to the main location. That's just dumb.
Yes. I learned this when I was there in Portland. I went to the main one and the line was ridiculous. And then we went to another one that was in a converted diner type place.
I know exactly what location you're talking about.
It was great.
Yeah.
It was. We got right in there and got our donuts covered with bacon.
I used to go to that first location when I was in high school all the time. One time there was a person playing a saw there and I tried to give them $1 and they gave it back to me.
He's like, I don't play for money.
Yeah.
He's like, it's just for love.
Yeah.
It's pretty impressive.
But I will say that all the there's a lot of other for some reason Portland has a good donut culture,
right?
And there's a lot of other good donut shops too. People like Blue Star. I've never had Blue Star. A friend of mine worked at Coco. I really enjoy Coco. Makes a buttermilk donut that is just fucking unbelievable. Pardon my language.
See, and I'm all about the simple, well done donut. I'm kind of over it's got Rice Krispies on it. I just want
that's dumb. All that shit is dumb.
A glazed donut, that's the best thing. When I was in Seattle, I was on the trip in Seattle and Portland.
Seattle.
So we went to both and I had a Top Pot. I had a Top Pot donut and that was amazing.
Yeah, they make
So
Top Pot's a pretty good donut. Anyway, so if you're ever in Portland, I recommend the cake donut or cocoa donuts.
Cake donut or cocoa donut. I also went to Pine State Biscuits, which was amazing.
And I have no idea what you're talking about.
You don't know Pine State?
No, I don't. Vegetarian. Remember.
Oh, okay. Well, it was good. What's the best vegetarian option for you?
Greek food. I went to New York and went crazy because there's amazing fucking Greek food everywhere.
Oh, nice. Come back there
and there's none.
Yeah, I do like the Greek diners in New York. I miss that element of the East Coast. So,
wow.
That's all I got.
This got heartbreaking.
Yeah.
Anyway, genuine pleasure talking to you today. Is there anything else you feel like you need to tell the world?
I think
are there any more corn pone stories?
I got
your
it
new
all,
book.
I'll tell you my favorite corn pone story currently about my daughter.
Okay.
All right. You're gonna fire up the banjo behind us?
No, we'll just let you tell it.
My daughter she has a couple stuffed animals, mostly Winnie the Pooh type stuffed animals. She has Winnie the Pooh and Piglet and a rabbit who is not the rabbit from Winnie the Pooh, but serves as that rabbit. Mm-hmm. And she refers to them as her husbands. So Piglet is her husband. And one night I was putting her to bed and we go upstairs and she goes into her room. She's like, there's no one in my bed. And I said, who? She said, my husband Piglet. And my wife was downstairs and I said, it's like, well, I can text Mama. And she just ran to the top stairs. She's like, Mama, can you bring up my husband, Piglet? And she comes back into the room. She said, I texted her.
Wait, why are we going to text her?
Well,
look,
you know,
I was going to make fun of this story almost immediately, but that's actually a pretty funny cornpone story. But I am a little curious about why you were texting your wife instead of just paging.
Yelling down the stairs.
Yeah, I don't know.
Well, you know, because here's the thing. You're putting your child to bed. You want to kind of keep a mellow vibe.
Okay.
You want to sort of, you need to train. The thing is that a three-year-old is basically a small, insane person all the time.
Yes.
So, you know, she's bouncing off the wall. So once you get through the tub bath time, you know, it's like you kind of want to transition into a mellow state. You get the lights down and everything like that. So I was, you know, the thing is you can just text. Then my wife gets it and brings them upstairs magically without there having to be yelling. But my daughter decided to. The most efficient way to text her was to yell at her.
Okay.
So.
Okay. I see where we're at. I think your daughter might have been right from a pure efficiency standpoint.
Yeah.
From like a statistical standpoint, but I get your approach from a scouting standpoint.
Sure. I'm kind of old school. You know, I like mid-range jump shots. The texting is the mid-range jump shot of that. So she just she took it right to the hole. So
anyway, always a pleasure, Steve.
Thanks, man.
Thanks to Steve. Once again, you can find him on the internet, on Twitter at Steve McPherson. I'm sure he's on LO. If you want to see him there. Thank you for listening. We'll be back sooner or later. I know I'm inconsistent with doing this. I get it, but I've been doing things for money lately, and it's warped my priorities a little bit. Hey, have a good week. Thank you.